With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Heard right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Good evening. I'm David Harris. I'm going to kick the program off tonight. I'm the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas. Here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Also joining us tonight is Frank Briscoe. We're running our boards and our phone system for us. The gospel preacher at the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. We have a great program for you tonight. And tonight we're going to continue with what we started last week. Well, last week we had a request to deal with the problem of race and racism from the standpoint of religion and the standpoint of God's Word. And we got into it pretty hard, but we didn't get through. And so we're going to pick it up where we left off last week, and I'd like to remind you that there's an awful lot that has been said in the last few years concerning race and racism. And we've all seen the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, the riots in Baltimore. We've had them all attributed to race and racism. And now we have something that is called Black Lives Matter that is gaining a great foothold in this United States of America. Put together, it's an organization put together by a community organizer to accentuate black lives over every other life out there. The media has been accelerating the fire of this controversy with plenty of fuel. And what we're witnessing today in America is something that we have not seen in years as far as people's thinking on race and racism. And again, I want to reiterate tonight, we're going to look at race and racism from the standpoint of religion and the standpoint of God's Word.
You know, tonight we're going to be talking more about that. But before we get into the program, David, let's remind our listeners that we're airing tonight on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY 95.5 and FM in Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 and a Plainview, Texas. We're also airing on the World Wide Web on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. This program will also be rebroadcast there on the Gospel Radio Network at 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. Now, our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now, we want our listeners to remember that this is a live call-in program, and if you have any questions or comment about our topic tonight, we encourage you to call us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. There's also a chat room going on at the Gospel Radio Network. If you'd like to get involved in that, just go to that website and you'll see where you can get on onto the chat room. Now, there's also an email address, questions@harrisonmoore.org, that you can also send questions to. We won't answer those questions tonight, but David and I will look in our box and find them, and we'll be sure and answer them either by email, or we might even use your thoughts and questions on the radio. And that's what we're doing tonight, isn't it, Dave? We're talking about a question that was given to us about why is there racism in churches today.
Right. And we're going to get to that, but before we do, for those of you who are in a place and have a Bible, we're going to be using a scripture and using it for the text of our lesson. The scripture is Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, and this is what God's Word has to say here. He says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, first of all, we need to fully realize and understand here that there is no black-white issue here. There is no brown-white issue here. There is no nationality issue here. He takes it every bit out of the way. And so when we look at the definition of race and racism, it's very, very hard to separate the two. And very quickly, Tom, why don't you run through what is racism, what is race, and then we're going to talk just a little bit as to how we are allowing the culture in which we live to redefine the terminology concerning anything that might be controversial.
Exactly. And David, you know, defining words are really paramount in us having a true understanding of the issue. There is the true definition, and sometimes there are definitions that people throw out there that have nothing to do with the true definition of the word.
Amen.
And so let's look at the word, first of all, racism. Racism is when one race believes it is superior to another, resulting in oppression. It is not necessarily a black-white issue when one considers the definition of race.
So what's race?
Well, race is a people of common descent, common occupation based upon physical characteristics. And so, David, we see right there, this is not a black-white issue. Mm-hmm. Common descent, common occupation based on physical characteristics. You know, it could be a race could be a bunch of tall people.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with the color of one's skin. Well, David, why are we allowing the culture in which we live to redefine terminology concerning anything that may seem to be controversial?
Well, we could sum it up in a couple of words called political correctness. But it seems, Tom, that our society just goes out of its way to make that which is correctly identified do it incorrectly. Don't put the proper terminology on it so that you won't offend anybody. Change the terminology so nobody will be offended by what you say. Now, we need to add one more definition to racism and race to make the entire definition complete, and it is that of prejudice. Give us a definition of prejudice very quickly.
Prejudice is an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. David, what we're really talking about in all of this, when we talk about racism and race and prejudice, and this whole issue really revolves around political correctness.
Absolutely. And the question that was given to us by the Inquirer, he wanted to know about race in religion. And the next question that he asked was, why are there white and black churches? And when we look at that, we've got to understand that there is absolutely no scriptural authority for this to happen. If race or racism or prejudice is involved in a black or a white congregation existing for those reasons, then there is no scriptural authority for it. As a matter of fact, Tom, it is sin.
Exactly. In James 2 and verse 1, it says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality," or the King James says, "with respect of persons."
So what he's saying there is that if you hold partiality to a color or to a race, then your faith is vain. You are just going through the motions of playing like you're a Christian, basically, is what you're doing.
Exactly right. And so it's important for us to realize that when we're talking about partiality, when we're talking about prejudice, the Bible condemns this. And any Christian who's trying to live up to the Bible standard is not going to be involved in that, whether it be a white-black issue, whether it be that of one's background or their occupation, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, as you read a moment ago, we're all. How many is all? That's
all
everyone, right?
Everyone.
Everyone is one in Christ who have put on Christ. And so God does not see color. He does not see occupation. He sees those who want to live faithfully to him.
Well, you know, one of the things that bothered the man that wrote in and asked us to do this program, he said, why are there what he called hyphenated churches within their title? And what he was talking about was he had been attending this church in Fort Worth. And a magazine, they were having a gospel meeting there at this black congregation where he had been attending. And by the way, this fellow was white. And this magazine came and interviewed the preacher there. And the preacher kept telling the magazine editor that we are an African-American church. An African-American church. Now, Tom, that in itself will tell us that there's racism involved here.
Exactly right, and especially when you realize what promoted that hyphenated title. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that, David. Why? How come it came to be the African American Church?
Well, we had and we looked this up on the website not too long ago, just before the program started. And we have a summary of what the African Methodist Episcopal Church believes. Now, what that comes from is the AME website. And here it says, it started in 1816. That's 1 year removed from 200 years ago. Also known as the AME Church for short. The denomination is Methodist in terms of its basic doctrine and order of worship. It was born through adversity of the Methodist Church and to this day does not differ in any major way from what all Methodists believe. The split from the main branch of the Methodist Church was not a result of doctrinal differences, but rather the result of a time period that marked that was marked by man's intolerance of his fellow man based upon the color of his skin.
Now, David, a person who says that they're against racism and are offended by racism, the very ones who are saying that are the very ones in that case who are promoting the very thing they're against by being called an African-American church.
Absolutely.
Now, there's more than just African-American Methodists. There's all kinds of religious groups out there who refer to themselves as African-American. But David, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 4, who desires all men to be saved, how many?
All of them.
All of them to be saved, and all men to come to the knowledge of the truth.
And the knowledge of the truth is, James chapter 2 and verse 1, God will not allow partiality without it being sin. Now, and sinful, full of it.
Exactly right, David. I just can't help myself, but I have to say, here's a group of people who are saying African-American church, right?
Right.
What would happen if a group of people says, well, we have the Hispanic-American church or the Oriental-American church or the White-American church? Well, there'd be a lot of people who would throw their arms up in disgust over that.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be sometimes, David, a double standard in these areas.
It does. And it does. And the explanation may come from tradition. the explanation may come from culture. I mean, these guys have been doing this since 1816, for crying out loud. That's been going on for 200 years. Wouldn't you think after 200 years they could resolve a difference here?
You would think so.
You would think that they could. I mean, isn't that the way that we're supposed to do as Christians, resolve our differences among ourselves? And yet they want to continue to maintain the hyphenated church to make sure that there is some kind of color involved in this thing when there shouldn't be.
You know, when we think about the idea of culture, I have no problem with people holding on to their culture, but we need to realize, David, that culture is okay as long as it does not go against God's holy word.
Amen.
You know, I mentioned last week when I went to India, they did some things there that I was a little bit uncomfortable with because I wasn't used to it.
Right.
But it was nothing that was against the scripture.
Right.
Now, remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And I might mention one other thing, David, that we forgot to mention a moment ago. This program is on September the 28th going to begin airing at 6 p.m. instead of 7. That's 2 weeks from today. It's going to be airing at 6 p.m. beginning September the 28th. Now, David, we're talking tonight about race and racism. And, David, another question that our inquirer had was, is the church divided by skin color?
Well, based upon the definitions that we gave just a moment ago of race and racism and prejudice, there is to be no division by skin color according to God. None whatsoever. Not by color alone, not because one is Hispanic, not because one is Asian, not because one is Palestinian. And again, Tom, we need to be careful about allowing society to redefine terminology. The question tonight is, why is there black and white division in the churches? And the answer can only be tradition and culture that some people are refusing to allow to let go of, but also a redefining of terminology so that it won't conflict with the Word of God. Now, I'd like to. Okay, we got a phone call coming in, and I'll let the phone caller give us a first name and your question and your comment, please.
Dave, this Rusty again.
Yes.
You know, this just aggravates me.
It should.
It just aggravates me beyond belief that people believe that the skin, the color of a man's skin, determines the color of his heart. It just, y'all have, in the last, what, I've been listening, what, 15 minutes?
Probably so, yeah.
And y'all brung up some real good points. Well, I told you I'm a Southern Baptist, right?
Yes, sir.
And I told you that one of our best congregations other than our own that comes and, you know, and we share is black.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And prejudice is in the heart. It's just, prejudice is just, now, okay, I know prejudice is wrong. I'm prejudiced, okay? I do not like Iranians. I went to school, you know, college with a bunch of them, and I just don't like them. I don't like the way they think. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the way they smell. They don't take baths very often.
Well, Rusty, let me ask.
I know. That is my fault.
Well, Rusty, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about what you're saying right there. What is the difference in being prejudiced toward blacks and being prejudiced toward the ones you just mentioned? What is the difference in those two things?
Oh, big difference.
Okay, tell me what it is.
Blacks are Christians. The Iranians are not.
Are you sure there's no Iranian Christians in the world?
There might be. I'm sure there is.
All right, let me ask you this question.
Ones I have a personal experience with were,
Okay.
Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet.
So are you going to...
And if I didn't want to believe it, that, you know what, kill them.
Are you going to tell me also that every single black is a Christian? Do you like only black Christians?
No. No, sir. Only blacks I've had experience with were Christians.
Uh-huh.
Well,
that's all I know. I'm ignorant, okay?
No. Here's the deal. We've got to recognize people as a soul, regardless of who they are.
I realize that.
And the tradition and the culture is what you're not liking. It's not the color of them. It's the tradition and the culture is what you're not liking about those individuals.
You don't like what they stand for. It's not because they're a certain color. You don't like them because...
I think they're worshiping a false religion
and
a false god.
You're exactly right on that.
Philosophy.
You are absolutely right about
that. Yes, it offends me. You're right.
Yeah. And to a certain degree... To a certain degree, we're all offended by the fact that somebody will not recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior and go off out there and worship Allah or some idol, and everybody is offended at that. But still,
that's not exactly what offends me. What offends me is that they want to deny me my free choice. I give them, hey, if they want to worship Allah, I don't care. I really don't. Who was it? He wrote to Philippians. Work out thine own salvation with diligence and fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't quote chapter and verse on that. But whatever. But they want to deny me the freedom I'm willing to grant them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a problem with a lot of these racism and things of that nature.
Right.
They don't want you to do what you're wanting to do, but they won't give you the same privileges, right? And so,
they're denying me the privilege they demand.
Yes, and that's always been a problem with everybody. You know, there are a lot of people that we may not like in this life, but we need to love their soul. And the fact that they have the opportunity, as long as they're breathing air, they've got the opportunity to repent and to change.
Yes.
And if that ever happened,
and
that would be a glorious day.
And what we're talking about is religious intolerance.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah.
I don't believe in gay marriage. I do not believe in abortion. I believe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I believe my God created me, and I believe my God is going to bring me home when I'm done here. And the vast majority of the world is going to try to deny me what I believe. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well,
but they won't allow me to tell them they're wrong.
Well, they might.
Well, you know, we are living in a day when even our government is trying to silence Christianity. And so
if we go out and vote, that's going to change.
Hopefully, you're correct.
Hey,
hopefully.
All we can do, you know, all us Baptists and Methodists and Church of Christ, I'm not sure about Episcopalians. You know, they allow government. But if we get together and we go out there and we say something, this is not a political speech. You know what? Forget I said anything about that.
Well, Rusty, we really appreciate you calling in tonight.
Okay, Wendell, bye.
Say what? Oh, I guess, okay.
He's gone.
Okay. Getting back to where we were just a moment ago, we need to be very, very careful about allowing society to redefine our terminology here. And the question tonight is, why is there black and white division in the churches today? And I worked in a place before I came here to Stephenville, And I preached at a black congregation there at the same time that I was preaching at the congregation that I was in, because they started at a different time in the evening, and I could preach a sermon there, drive halfway across town, and get there in time to preach at the at my home congregation as well. And I was just helping them out, Tom, and they didn't have a preacher, they didn't have a set of elders. Their facilities were in dire need of repair because they were very, very old and decrepit. And we visited a long while. I preached there for several years. I mean, I preached their people's funerals. I preached everything that a preacher preaches over there. And I asked them, would they be interested in coming over and joining us and making it kind of easy on themselves with their contribution and this sort of thing. And they elected to stay without a preacher, without elders, in a dilapidated situation because of tradition and because of culture. They didn't want to give up what they knew was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that this is not some of the foundational ground thinking, even in the AME that has been doing this for 200 years, based upon race, and these are from their own words.
Exactly. Now, a difference, though, they did not call themselves, did they, African American Church of Christ in Brownville, Texas?
No, they did not.
They just said Church of Christ.
Yes.
And they happened to be mostly, if not all, black.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed there because of cultural reasons, not because of any kind of racism.
No.
Is that right?
And they actually did come over and visit quite often. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole congregation come over and visit quite often. So, you know, it wasn't an issue of skin color. What it was an issue of was tradition and culture that they refused to give up.
But that's not true of all.
No, it's not.
Because there are some churches that are predominantly white that would prefer no blacks to come because of racism.
Mm-hmm.
And there are black churches who are predominantly black who would prefer not whites to come because of racism.
And this gets back to what we were talking about just a moment ago. Based upon God's word, how can you do that? There is no scriptural reason to do something like that when James chapter 2 and verse 1 says it will make your faith vain.
Well, notice also, David, while we're talking about James, in James 2 and verse 9, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. You can't get any clearer than that.
No, you cannot.
Racism is a sin. I don't care if it's black on white, white on black, black on Hispanic, whatever it is sin. And the Bible says, do not be involved.
Absolutely. And so last week we pointed this one thing out, and we need to point it out again, is that many times the answer may lie in the question, why are there black and white churches? The answer may lie in the fact that the church, wherever it is found, is going to take on the characteristic of the city in which it is found. And case in point is the church at Corinth. It was mm-hmm. a problem church. Paul had to write the first letter to the church at Corinth, the First Corinthians there, to address all of the different problems that were in the church there. And all of those problems were a direct result of those people bringing the world in which they lived, bringing it into the church, refusing to leave it outside. And this is where all of the problems started. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, that these individuals were involved. At that particular time, there was it wasn't the problem of racism that they had in Corinth. It was a problem of prostitution. There was this goddess Aphrodite there that people were involved with. And it was a problem of prostitution, and they came out of that into the church, but some of them couldn't leave it out. And he says, do not be deceived. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor revilers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you, which means that anybody can change with the power of the gospel. But they were bringing the characteristic of the city into the church. And many, many times what we see is the tradition of the black-white church in each city. It has an awful lot to do with the characteristic of that particular city and the characteristic of the church that they allowed the city to come into the church there. Again, James chapter 2, verse 9. Did you not just read that? Would you read it again so that we can see what God has to say about that?
James 2, verse 9 says, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. You know, David, in many cases, the world, the church, that is, has allowed the world to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
They've allowed the prejudice, the racism that is out there to enter into the church. Now, David and I are not saying that there is no racism and prejudice in the church, because there is. And I think the hyphenated church promotes that.
I do too.
And so it
certainly won't let it go.
No, it will not. It keeps reminding people. And David, we need to rather get rid. We're supposed to be separate from the world. We're not supposed to allow the world to get in to the church. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're apart from that type of lifestyle. We're apart from racism. We're apart from all the things of the world. We have been taken away from that, and we cannot allow it to seep into the church.
Well, just listen to the statement itself. Who have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Well, you're either going to be in the power of darkness or you're going to be in the kingdom of his dear son. One of the two. You can't be in both at the same time.
You know, one of the sad things, Dave, I just thought about it here, that we were talking about earlier, how that people are so inconsistent with what they believe, and they want one privilege, but they won't allow others to have the same privilege. For example, was it Office Depot
mm-hmm.
that would not allow some people to print off some brochures that was condemning
Planned Parenthood.
You know, well, don't we have a right to voice what we believe? They have the right to voice what they believe. Why can't we? You see, there is an inconsistency here.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that also, David, in regard to racism. Some religions have the African-American church, and they think that's okay, and everybody's fine with that, as the world says, sees it. But the first time you start seeing somebody who says the white American church, that's not going to fly.
No, I don't think
so. See,
there's
some inconsistencies here. As a matter of fact, there should not be hyphenated churches, not black, no white. Just be the Lord's church as described in the New Testament and not bring race into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a passage of scripture that should really, really clear all of this up, and it's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. But I'd like to back up to verse 1 because the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is addressing the church at Rome. And he tells them, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, notice there he says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not your black bodies, not your white bodies, not your Hispanic bodies, but your bodies, mm-hmm. a living sacrifice. And after you do that, he says, I want it to be holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. Be not conformed unto this world, but again, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It has nothing to do with color.
Exactly. You know, that word transformed, David, is very interesting. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho, where we get our English word metamorphosis. And so we're to be transformed, just be a radical change in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if a person is really going to have a radical change, then race is not going to matter.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we've stated many times on this program, and we stated usually several times throughout the program, that our motto is, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. We've heard a lot of what people of the world say about racism and how they feel about racism and things of that nature. But what we're concerned about, David, is not what the world thinks, not what the world's definition is, but what does the Bible say? You know, David, the standard that God has regarding respect to persons and how he views that goes all the way back to the Pentateuch.
Yes.
To the book of Deuteronomy. Is that right?
Absolutely. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, we have a very, very interesting statement being made. Now, we understand that we do not live under the laws of the Old Testament anymore. We live under the laws of the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1 and verse 25. Of the New Testament, but the principles that are found, the principles of righteousness that are found in this Old Testament are brought forward into the New Testament. In verse number 17 of Deuteronomy chapter 10, he says,
"For another phone call.
We got a phone call. Well, call back, caller. We'd love to hear your comment or your question. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regards not persons nor takes reward."
Phone call.
Caller, if you give us your first name and your comment or your question, please.
My first name is Marcus.
Yes.
Marcus, what's on your mind?
Well, I appreciate you all and your consistency. And I am African-American,
mm-hmm.
race. You're consistent with the fact that it's not just black versus white or white versus black. It's the entirety of the races, not in the specific sense, in a general sense, that has this issue with one another, and it should not be. You know, the Word tells us that how can we say we love God if we don't see but hate our brothers who we see?
Exactly.
Very good.
Essentially, we're pushing away the world instead of being evangelistic to the world by way of our stigmas, our traditional-based biases against one another. And just, it hurts me to the core, because what do we think is going to happen in Judgment Day?
Exactly right. You know, and you're exactly right about that. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I don't understand. It's 2015.
Yeah.
And I remember in my class, I actually attended Brown Trail School of Preaching,
mm-hmm.
and they told us how in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, the Churches of Christ were the number one, quote-unquote, religious organization. Now, myself being 5 years Christian post-baptism, you don't see that anymore. Statistically, the Churches of Christ, I don't even think they're on the scale right now. And it's because of the civil war that's taking place within the Lord's Church, not a doctrinal-based civil war, but issues, i.e. racism. So, I definitely want to say I appreciate you all giving the opportunity for me to call in and voice my opinion.
We really appreciate you calling in, but before you go, you know, we are just now getting into the meat of what we really wanted to get across, and that is, what is God's standard? And Marcus, I think you will agree with us. If we could just adhere to God's written standard, the revealed word, if we could just all adhere to that, there would be absolutely no division at all in religion, not based upon doctrine, not based upon skin color, not based upon race, not based upon political correctness or anything, if we would just adhere to God's standard. Would you not agree with that?
I do. You guys are, again, you're spot on. If God's word was kept at its supreme position as it should be, if brothers and sisters in Christ, and even those of denominational background, had a healthy fear of an internal destination that awaits those that don't adhere to God's word, then, again, we wouldn't be on the air right now talking about this very issue.
Exactly.
There would be other issues that are still of an importance as well that would be discussed, and not the same old racism dialogue.
Amen. Amen. Very well said, Marcus. Very well said. We really, really appreciate your call. Very good input for the program tonight. Thank you very much for calling in. Anything else you'd like to add?
No. It's my first time listening, and I am enjoying it. I'm doing my homework and listening at the same time. Thank you guys so much, and God bless you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you very much for your call.
You know, he mentioned, Marcus did, about we wish we didn't have to talk about these things.
Right.
Paul had the same sentiment. You remember back in the book of Jude, verse 3, it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation." That's what I wanted to write about. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
"I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints."
Okay, let me make one minor correction. It wasn't Paul. It was Jude.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry, Jude said that.
But
the whole point is, I would much rather be talking about this. And, you know, David, there are a lot of things that I would much rather be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a problem.
Yeah, there is a problem,
and we need to deal with the problem.
Yes, I do believe that we do, and the problem is solved very, very easily, and you know, it's what we're talking about right now. You know, let me read Deuteronomy 10 and 17 again. "For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regards not persons nor takes reward." And then again, he reminds Moses reminds the people right before they cross over that Jordan. He wants them to stick this in their head and never forget it. In chapter 16 and verse 19 of the book of Deuteronomy, he said, "You shall not wrest judgment, you shall not respect persons, neither take a gift, for it does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous."
Mm-hmm.
And so we see over and over the principles of this racism and the political correctness that goes along with it in our day and time is just absolutely abhorrent. And the whole thing is a change of terminology from the word and the standard of God to man's way of looking into things and resting the scriptures and resting the righteousness of God revealed, so that people are confused at every turn.
Exactly. You know, David, this same thought, the same principle is also in the New Testament.
Amen.
And we've already looked at several passages, but notice with me, in the book of Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" David, it doesn't matter if you're from Ireland or Africa or Australia or America, none of that matters to God.
None.
It doesn't matter if your skin is white or black or in between colors. None of that matters. What matters to God and what should matter to us is that we fear God and do that which is right. That's what matters.
And we're talking here strictly here now. We're focusing, really focusing and aiming at God's standard here. And what we need to understand here, Tom, and what the audience need to understand is that we live in a society today that through multifaceted efforts in different venues, every single effort is being made to redefine God's standard of right.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note right there, I would like to mention that for the next 3 weeks, we're going to take this to a different level. Racism is just one of the reasons that people use as an excuse to redefine God's terms, get politically correct about things, or actually politically incorrect, mm-hmm. the way that I see it, and redefine terms so as not to offend those that are involved in whatever facet we're dealing with here. Racism is just one facet that tries to change the terminology of God's word, and we can't allow that to happen. And like you read just a moment ago, Jude says we've got to earnestly contend for the faith, uphold the righteousness that God has put forth, and stop listening to man redefine terms and try to justify things like race, racism, prejudice, tradition, and culture, and justify it by a division.
You know, we talk about this, David, because as we've already read, racism is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to address the matter of sin. And as you mentioned a moment ago, David, we're going to be taking this to another level because the same issue is found, the same underlying principles are found in regard to homosexuality that we're going to be talking about, the redefining of terms, mm-hmm. And what really is behind that. We're going to talk about how the Pope now has saying you can annul a marriage.
A redefinition of the term divorce.
Exactly. And so what was the other thing?
Abortion.
Abortion. Yeah, all those three things are really tied together, and all of it revolves around man trying to redefine God's terms.
God's terms. And by the way, in all of these incidences, if you will look at them together, they would like nothing more in each and every one of those categories that you just that you just mentioned. They would like nothing more than to remove God's word from the people, where there would be a drought in the nation of God's word, just like Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 said, there's going to be a famine in the land, not a famine of the water, not a famine of the food, but a famine of the word of God. One of these days, we're going to wake up, and we're going to have a famine of the word of God, and we're going to be worthless because of it, because we won't know which way to turn. But we're there in many instances today. We are there already. And so we've got to really watch out about this political correctness that tries to change the terminology, the progress that we might be making in all of these areas of racism and abortion to stop it, and trying to quell the radical homosexual agenda. All of this progress that we may be making in these areas will not be attributed to the righteousness of God, but they're going to be attributed to the intelligence of man, if it is that they want to heap it onto the political correctness part of it.
Exactly. Now, God's standard, David, is very clear on
Absolutely.
This. Absolutely. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, for there is no partiality. There is no respect of persons with God. None. None whatsoever.
None.
And so if there is none with God, there should be none with us, right?
Absolutely not. When we look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, one of my favorite verses that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, tells us, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, wouldn't that clear everything up, Tom?
It surely would. It surely would.
It's unbelievable how easily that would. Now, getting back to the text that we read at the very beginning of this lesson, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, he says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not just Black Lives Matter, not just White Lives Matter, not just any old Lives Matter, all of them.
Exactly.
He is concerned with the salvation of souls. And verse number 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And because of that transformation, because of that translation out of darkness and into this marvelous light, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we're going to have hope of eternal life with Jesus in heaven and all the saints.
Exactly, David. You know, political correctness, really, as we've said, is really, I believe, and you believe, the underlying principle to the whole problem.
I do.
The taking out of God's Word. Now, the definition of political correctness is pretty interesting, David. It's defined this way: conforming to a belief that language and practices which could offend political sensibility in matters of sex or race should be eliminated.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because over here in Romans chapter 12, you would think that Jesus or the Holy Spirit here is addressing this very issue when he says, and be not conformed. And now, what did you read that again?
Conforming to a belief that languages and practices which offend should not be participated. I just kind of rephrased it.
Okay. Well, okay. So here's what the Holy Spirit has to say about that. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. And you cannot prove that. You cannot stand approved for that if you are conforming to a belief and a practice which could be, you don't want to say anything offensive that might offend somebody.
And so the idea, David, then, of political correctness is we cannot say anything that would offend someone.
Well, I guess Jesus was the most politically incorrect person to ever live on the face of this earth.
And let me ask you, David, is there anything that a person can say that would not offend someone?
Absolutely not. Well, get back to your Office Depot thing. They came in there to make some copies of Planned Parenthood. They said, we won't do that because it's offensive and it's hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people that were printing out the brochures trying to tell everybody about what Planned Parenthood was coming is way worse than any kind of hate speech you ever. They were killing and selling baby parts, for crying out loud, and they were trying to get this information out there. It's hate speech on one side, and the other people are trying to get information out there. And so this political correctness is conforming to the world and its current beliefs, and that's all in the world it is.
And so in reality, then, political correctness is defined by the leaders that be.
Absolutely. And
they don't hold true to the true definition all the way through, because
no,
they will cut it off when it's not going to bring about the effect that they want.
And it entirely inconsistent. I understand that this political correct terminology is coming from some of our most liberal universities. And what they are doing, and it's nothing new, it's been going on for a long time, but what they've been doing is, have we got a call?
No.
Okay. What they've been doing is they've been calling evil good and good evil. It's just like this AME thing and the African American church and all of these things. We've got a real problem with this, calling evil good and good evil. God calls it evil, man calls it good. God calls it bitter, man calls it sweet. God calls it dark and man calls it light. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20.
Notice what Jeremiah says, David, in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their punishment. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. Now, David, and that's exactly what's going on with political correctness.
Absolutely.
Saying peace, peace, but they're trying to keep peace, they think, But there is no peace in political correctness.
No, really, the world thinks that if they'll just take God's word out of the equation, just take it completely out of the discussion, that it will cause things to be politically correct and nothing will ever offend anybody else. And that is not the case. There is absolutely no scriptural benefit at all to any kind of political correctness except to tell somebody a lie about a truth.
You know, Dave, we don't want to confuse political correctness with what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 when he says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one."
That is just being tactful.
Exactly right.
There's a whole lot of difference in lying and being tactful. And we need to be tactful about everything that we say. But at the same time, we don't need to be so tactful that people don't know what we're talking about.
Exactly right. And you know, David, speaking of being tactful, we need to be straightforward with people about what it takes to become a child of God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that we need to believe in Jesus. You know, John chapter 3 and verse 16 says that if we don't believe in Jesus, well, there's no hope of salvation. We've got to believe. We've got to have faith, but we realize that faith only comes by hearing the Word of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have hearing, we have faith or belief, but it doesn't stop there, does it?
No, because if we don't repent, and you see, this is where political correctness comes in. Political correctness tries to teach people that God is going to take you anywhere where you are if they believe in any kind of a God at all. God is not going to take us any old way we are. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." He expects a change. He expects a transformation in us from where we were in darkness to be able to come into the light. We can't get in the light without the change.
Exactly. And so we've got the idea of hearing God's word that produces faith.
Mm-hmm.
We've got repentance, that is a changing of our life.
Right.
But the Bible also talks about the importance and the need of being willing to confess the Christ, to make the good confession. And David, that's not just a one-time scenario. We must always be willing, should we not?
We've got to live that confession.
Exactly.
It is a profession that we make for a lifetime. But still in all, before men, we need to and must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are many people out there that don't believe that. If you don't believe that, then you're playing Christianity for nothing, because it won't get you anywhere. That confession has got to be made. But then there is one step that will put us into Christ, and that one, Tom,
is baptism.
Absolutely.
You know, we read a passage a moment ago in Galatians 3 and verse 27 that we're baptized into Christ.
Right.
And that very Christ that we're baptized into said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth," there's the faith, "and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not," or "you who do not believe this," you're going to be condemned. And so it's important for us, David, that we hear God's word, that we have that faith, that we're willing to confess our sins and I repent of our sins and confess the name of Christ and be baptized. And when they did that, David, on the day of Pentecost, they were added to the Lord's church.
Absolutely. And they were baptized for the remission of their sins. Now, we're going to have to cut you short tonight. We hope you've enjoyed the program, but right here at the end of the program, we need to give you a few of our additional sponsors. We are sponsored, no commercials on this radio show, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ right outside of Weatherford, Texas on Tin Top Road, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. You can listen to this program, a recording of this program, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. It will be rebroadcast on the harrisonmoore.org website. Just click on the microphone there. there, and you will be able to listen to the feed. And you can also sign up for the podcast of the program at the harrisonmoore.org website, at the RSS feed at the bottom of the right-hand corner of the web page. Tom, this has been a great night for me. I have enjoyed every minute of it. I want to encourage the listening audience to tune in next week, or we're going to have something that we're going to see parallels with racism, and it's going to produce the same kind of result, although it's a totally different venue. Mm-hmm. And we want to encourage you to listen in next week. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition 3.